black ditch over Blackstock Road, an astral hybrid of the air, the element of mind, a stratosphere in which rarefied intellects might dance. In 1922, Aleister Crowley and his scarlet woman Leah Hersig trust an occult print job to a Highbury engraver, so impressed by the result that they move in with him. Hammond, the man in question, has psoriasis, complexion like confetti. Crowley reasons that exposure to the ninth degree sex magic ritual of the OTO will clear it up. Leah is sick and thin, a baby lost the year before. She's finished typing Diary of a Drug Fiend, so the great beast packs her off to Kefalu, the Abbey of the Lame. Lonely in his first floor Highbury flat, he feels the asthma coming back and reaches for his heroine, his storm fiend, with an easy, practiced rhythm. He begins to nod. The cold pin feathers of his holy guardian angel brush the shaven skull. There comes a gap, an abyss, a hiatus in magical consciousness. From 1816, Samuel Taylor Coleridge lives near Archway with a Dr. Gilman and his wife, a lodger and a patient. Coleridge wears his habit like an albatross. The Gilmans treat him well, lend him their valet as a minder, following the poet at a discreet distance on his Holloway Road jaunt to drag him out of chemist's shop. Some nights he'll wander down to Highbury. On every girl he passes, he hallucinates the same dark features. Sarah Hutchinson, lost beyond light. She calls him. Gaslight and horse dung smeared against the cobbles. On his left, Whittington Park, the point where London's first mayor turned again. For Coleridge, there's no going back. Spread under a wide sky like toys downhill before him, Islington and Shoreditch. He can feel the city drawing him. Its awful gravity compels a stumbling, tripping gait. He finds a resting spot near Seven Sisters Road. Above the Hercules Inn, turning gradually against the void, the Pleiades are visible. Surrendering, he shuts his eyes. And impact of his own flesh. He's not passed a stool in weeks, Laudanum constipation. Rising to his feet unsteadily, he veers against the wind. Further downhill, terrible sounds leak from a soul illuminated upper window. Nightmare music. There appears to be a plaque fixed to the wall, too high to read. He carries on through an increasingly unrecognizable terrain. Ahead, the road spanned by an unfamiliar bridge, covered in scrawl. The phrase, Vandals for Life, unsettles him. Behind him in the dark, the hideous tune falls silent. There's a rifle shot, and then another. Coleridge staggers on, something is dreadfully wrong. He can no longer see the Pleiades. He passes Dorset House, which seems a dirty hulk. A poster promises live Chinese evils, but he can't read properly, his vision swimming. Lanterns everywhere. A garish building looms at Highbury Corner. Outside there's a girl with key in one hand, napkin in the other, sweat of horses. Everything goes black. Waking in Highbury Fields with one cuff button gone, frost-patterned grass against his cheek, ground fog encircles him, burning away in the first morning gold. Strange tunes still rattling in his ears, he stumbles off into the light, into the Sunday bells.